this reconvene. Your silence is commanded.
Please be seated. Well, before I call our second case of the morning, my notes tell me we have students from Wisconsin Lutheran here. If that's correct, would you all please stand? Oh, wonderful. Very good. Please be seated. The students are here on a program called Court with Class, so they know a little bit about the case. And if students, if you can remain after this argument, Justice Rebecca Dowd down there at the end of the bench, we'll come down and chat with you a little bit about how cases come to the Supreme Court. She won't be talking about the substance of the case that you're about to hear, but I'm sure that you'll have a lot of things that you'll find of interest. So if you can stay, please do. And anybody else that wants to stay, of course, is welcome as well. I'm going to now call our second case, Town of Rib Mountain versus Marathon County. And I want you to note that on my left is an empty chair where Justice Ann Walsh Bradley sits, and on my right is an empty chair where Justice Shirley Abrahamson generally sits. Neither justice will participate in this case, so we sit five, the five that are before you. Are you prepared to proceed?
I am.
Please do.
May it please the court, counsel. My name is Scott Corbett. I'm the corporation counsel for Marathon County, and I'm happy today to represent Marathon County and the Marathon County Board of Supervisors. We are the petitioners in this case, and we are grateful that you granted our petition for review in this matter.
Counsel, before you start, there's just a point of clarification that's very helpful to me. You refer, both parties actually, refer to unincorporated territory. And in your brief, you say Rib Mountain has elected to remain unincorporated. What do you mean by that?
Well, I mean that they have a substantial population. They have enough population to actually incorporate it if they wish to do that. They have chosen not to incorporate.
As a village.
That's right. That's
okay.
Right.
So when you refer to unincorporated territory, what you're referring to is that they're a town.
That's correct.
Okay. So anytime that you say unincorporated territory, we can just substitute town for that.
That is correct, Your Honor.
Okay. Thank you.
In 2016, the Marathon County Board of Supervisors passed an ordinance requiring all unincorporated towns in Marathon County to comply with a uniform addressing system that featured renumbering of all locations in all unincorporated towns to a six-digit address number and renaming of over 650 roads to avoid duplication of addressing. There have been over 15,000 addresses changed in Marathon County so far as a result of the implementation of the ordinance. Rib Mountain has sued to exempt itself from the application of the ordinance in this case. As you might imagine, something on that scale was not necessarily met with wild enthusiasm by a number of people in Marathon County. And the sheriff of Marathon County called the decision of the county board to make that kind of a change a brave decision and a wise decision in the best interests of all the people of Marathon County.
Were there problems getting EMT and ambulances to the correct address? Was that a factor, a factual factor for the town?
It was a factual factor for the county. In fact, we had some closed session meetings with committees regarding incidents that had occurred in Marathon County, and there were some very specific instances that were discussed.
So it was more than just in the town of Rib Mountain, but there were problems in other places in Marathon County also?
That's correct. That's correct, Chief Justice. Marathon County is the largest landmass county in the state of Wisconsin, and we're located right in the middle There had been a number of occasions dispatch had gone amiss. We talked about liability. We talked about the results of these things. In fact, I represented to the county board that their decision in this matter essentially would be protected by legislative immunity or discretionary immunity. This was not an issue where they felt that the red flag of potential liability was what was driving this decision. This was a decision where they felt responsible to the people, to their constituents. At the time that they passed that ordinance, there were 10 different address grids servicing 42 different towns in the county, and that was the primary reason that the ordinance was passed.
So what does rural mean then in this on 59.54?
Well, and that's really
isn't that the crux of this here? I mean, you have the phrase rural, it's called rural naming or numbering system, each rural road. And then it also refers to towns. So you're basically saying, are you saying rural equals towns equals unincorporated? Is that your argument?
Yes.
So
that
every time
is
you see
that,
rural, you could substitute town or unincorporated.
That is correct. That is what we're saying. We're saying in the context of this particular statute, that's what it means. I think if you look at the Court of Appeals decision, I think they say it means non-urban. That was the conclusion they came to, and that conclusion, that definition, is extremely problematic. And we believe an unreasonable interpretation of the general grant of authority that was made by the legislature in the statute.
Well, besides the results that you say are absurd, why would they use the word rural and towns then together in paragraph? Are in sub 4, so it's 59.54 sub 4, if they mean the same thing.
Well, I think, that's the primary argument of the Court of Appeals in the town in this case, that
and 4M
it violates the redundancy issue with respect to Kalal and the interpretation of statute. And again, what we're saying is that what Kalal says is, you look at the text, you look at the context of the statute, and when you look at the text of the statute, it actually has, it's using rural in a couple of different ways. And again, the first thing that I would point out to you is that the statute does not define rural. Okay, there are many occasions where the legislature says, you know, we're using a term in this section, and in this section it shall mean blah blah XXX. That's what it means. There's no definition in this particular statute, and so what they say is we're using the term rural, we're creating a rural naming and numbering system in towns, and what we say about that is that that's an instance where that's a title. That's the name of the system. When I grew up, it was called, they were called fire numbers that were put out in front of people's houses. But it's a broader context than that. We'll get into that. But the purpose of this particular statute is for aiding in fire protection, emergency services, and civil defense.
So, Council, what would you tell us that we should do with that term, rural? Should we just ignore it?
No, I'm not saying you should ignore it. I'm saying you should look at it in the text, and you should look at it in the context, and you should interpret it as meaning unincorporated.
Or to call it otherwise, town.
Correct.
Okay.
Correct. And I think...
Are there any textual clues that would tell us that rural actually means town?
I'm sorry.
Are there any clues in the text of the statute that would tell us that rural actually means town?
Well, I think in the text it says it's the name of the system, and it's supposed to be implemented in towns.
So if rural means town, and your brief says rural only in 59.54 sub 4, sub A and B, if rural only modifies road, then it doesn't modify home, business, farm, or other establishment, right?
That's correct.
Okay. So if rural means town, then this is applied to town roads, but not necessarily to homes, businesses, farms, or other establishments, right? Wouldn't that allow you to go into villages then?
I don't believe it does. I believe that our definition that rural roads means that portion of the roads that appear in unincorporated territory.
Right.
So
if that limitation applies to roads, but that limitation does not apply to homes, businesses, farms, or other establishments, then what tells you that you can't go into villages?
The statement that the naming and numbering system is to be implemented in towns.
And also, the villages have their own authority, correct? Just as a municipality, like the city of Wausau, certainly you're not naming the streets in Wausau.
That is correct. We are not. We don't believe that this enabling statute gives Marathon County the power to do that. We invited Wausau to participate, and the evolution of uniform systems is such that it actually creates a number for each. I think the spacing is every 3.3 feet in Marathon County, so that if the city of Wausau did agree to participate, they could be assigned numbers that would correspond to the actual grid.
So, Council, if the requirement that this be applied in towns is sufficient to limit the application to homes, businesses, farms, and other establishments that are in the town, why isn't that also not sufficient to limit application to roads that are in the town?
Why is the authority insufficient?
I asked, you know, what tells you that you can't number homes, businesses, farms, or other establishments in villages? And you said, well, it's because this applies only to towns. Right? Okay. So if that's the case, then isn't that limitation also sufficient to limit application of this numbering system to roads that are in town?
Oh, without the use of the word rural, is that what you mean?
Mm-hmm.
Well, we think that again, this is a statute that needs to be interpreted broadly. We think that if you try to interpret it as non-urban and you try to set up the kind of test that that the Court of Appeals indicated needs to be done, that's just an unreasonable result of the reading of the text.
Is rural surplusage in this statute?
What's that?
Is the word rural surplusage in this statute?
I don't think it is. I think it is a descriptor that appears, it is a word that appears as both a noun and as a descriptor of the roads.
Under your interpretation, though, if the word rural didn't appear, would the meaning change at all?
I think it would. I think there would be some question as to whether or not the name of the road needed to correspond to the name that the village gives it or the city gives it when it runs out, or whether or not when the road runs into that incorporated territory, does the law require that it contain that same name?
Well, why is that? Because if we look at subsection 4 and read it without the word rural, it says the board may establish a naming or numbering system in towns. Isn't that sufficient to support your interpretation?
It is sufficient, but I don't believe that it's surplusage that it's there. I think again, they could have called it a fire naming and numbering system. They could have named it after whoever invented the system. I think they in that section they're using it as a name. And the argument that we make in the brief is that, you know, we all know that the title of a statute is not part of the statute. The title of the statute under section 990 sub 1 sub 6 says that the name of the statute is not part, or the title of the statute is not part of the statute.
But here it is actually repeated, at least in the text of the statute. Rural naming or numbering system is both the title of sub 4, but also appears in that first paragraph of sub 4, right?
That is absolutely correct. And again, it is the name of the thing. My other analogy is we're familiar with contracts. And in most contracts, there's a clause that says the title of the paragraph is not part of this contract. The contract is the four corners of the contract.
But
the
if it's merely a descriptive title, if you will, mm-hmm. what operative effect does it have in the statute?
The operative effect is that it is the nature of the system that was implemented in 1957, and that's what we're asked to interpret. And I think that in this particular case, the label that goes with the naming and numbering system is not as important as the purpose that the legislature specifically provided for in the text.
I notice under 4M that this naming and numbering system can be done with town cooperation.
That's correct.
Was there any effort that's in the record with cooperation with the town?
Town
of Rib Mountain, right.
In the record, I believe that you'll find the administrative guidelines that were also passed by the county board as part and parcel of this whole thing for how towns were to work with the county. The first thing is the county has paid for all the new signs in this case. The second very important one is if the county was coming and saying, okay, if we're going to replace, if we're going to rename streets or roads within your town, can you give us your first and second choice as to what those names would be? So those things are all in the record that is before you. I can tell you certainly that some of the gentlemen that are here with me today have been working on this matter for almost 5 years now, and there have been numerous meetings with all kinds of town officials all over Marathon County.
Okay, thank you.
So why do this? I think the Wisconsin Counties Association, in their amicus brief, talks about the evolution of cell phone communication from landline communication. And in Marathon County's particular case, what happens is when somebody calls from a cell phone and tells the dispatcher where they are, there's an array of choices that are presented to the dispatcher for possible dispatch. I think in the amicus brief you see that 70%, I think the Federal Communication Commission is saying that 70% of all transmissions received by dispatch centers are now cell phones. And it only seems that's going to continue. That trend is only going to continue. And there are different apps and that kind of thing that they talk about in the amicus brief, that things like Uber have that you can install to help locate you. But out of, I think, Wisconsin Public Radio, and it's cited in the amicus brief, says that out of 109 dispatch centers in Wisconsin, only 7 of them have that kind of capability. So that was the primary driver to why things had to change. We say in the brief, Marathon County was one of the last counties to try to adopt uniform addressing. And one of the reasons for that is that it was politically unpopular. But the time came and the need came, and the county board made that decision. In addition to that, I would like to highlight what I think is the textual highlight of this particular ordinance.
I have one other thing that keeps running through my mind, in if you know. I mean, Rib Mountain as a town is big enough to create an incorporated village, right?
Correct.
Okay. So if they didn't like what you're doing, they could have made themselves into a village. I figure they must not be making themselves into a village because it has some disadvantages for them. But maybe I'm thinking about that incorrectly.
Well, what I can tell you is that one of the things that they enjoy is the law enforcement services of the Marathon County Sheriff's Office.
So they'd have to do their own if they became a village?
That is correct.
Okay. All right. Well, that makes me understand it a little bit better. Thank you.
So I do think the word rural within the text of the statute has a broad meaning. I don't think it has an overarching it represents an overarching limitation. If it applies to the name of the system and it applies to the roads that are running through unincorporated territory, it just doesn't follow that the word rural is actually the highlight or the overarching concern. If you look at the text tells you what the overarching concern is, and that is that the purpose of the statute is to aid in fire protection, emergency services, and civil defense. And that is, our argument is, that's the lens that you need to interpret this particular statute through. This is a particular statute. It doesn't have a definition within it, but it does have a definition of what the purpose is. And the purpose is to aid in fire protection, emergency services, and civil defense. That's the guidepost that the legislature put into the statute, knowing that, because, I mean, let's face it, every statute is a snapshot in time, right? Everything evolves after the statute is written and published. So what did the legislature put in there as the guidepost for how to interpret the language of the statute going forward? And the purpose that the legislature aligned on was in order to aid fire protection, emergency services, and civil defense.
Do you think that the original meaning of rural back in 1957 when this was adopted suggests that all towns in 1957 were rural, which is probably not the case today, depending on how one defines rural?
Certainly towns have evolved. Certainly, I would say, I was born in 1960, but I would say that certainly towns have evolved. The whole concept of suburban expansion, I think, was just coming to Wisconsin in 1957. I think that there was a recognized need. We do cite the Attorney General's opinion that was discussed in 1956, where Dane County came to them and said, "Hey, do you think we have the power to implement a naming and numbering system?" And they called it a rural naming and numbering system in rural Dane County. And the Attorney General said, "No. But we think you can go to the legislature next year, 1957, and have some legislation enacted that's going to enable you to do that." So I do think that towns have evolved since 1957. I think the technology has evolved since 1957. I think that civil defense, we talk about how that's evolved into emergency management. No longer are we looking for fallout shelters, but we're talking about emergency management when there's a storm damage, when there's a chemical release. That's how things have evolved. And the point I try to make in our brief is you wouldn't say that that emergency management is now irrelevant. Because it's not, they didn't use it, it doesn't fit within the definition of civil defense anymore. It certainly has evolved. But the one thing that hasn't evolved is the need for public safety. And certainly that was what was being recognized in 1957. It wasn't sufficient enough to say, send that fire truck out to Corbett's Farm on Rural Route 3. anymore. That's what had happened up until then. There needed to be a systematic organization.
You mentioned rural route, and that I think is a postal service naming convention.
Yes,
do you know whether or not the rural naming numbering system nomenclature is derived at all from the postal service use of rural route?
I do not know whether or not it does. I know what I do know, and what we've talked about is that the post office is automatically encompassed with respect to the changes that are going on in Marathon County at this time. I do know that that all the land records in Marathon County are being revised to coincide with this address grid. And what we don't want to see, what we want to see is a well-defined grid that ends at the town line, not something that is sort of a blob that is created by the change that the Court of Appeals has brought about. The Court of Appeals has said, well, look, we're going to make rural the centerpiece of this thing, but we actually aren't going to define it for you, other than say it's not urban. We're going to throw it back on the county, and we're going to say, okay, county, you figure out all these criteria, and you apply all these criteria, and you decide what's urban and what's rural, and if towns don't like it, you can go back to the court, and you can decide, and the court can decide whether or not all these criteria are reasonable. And I think if the shoe was on the other foot, and we were coming to you and saying, okay, well, hey, we have these 53 criteria, and we want to subjectively apply them in order to make a determination regarding, you know, how this town is going to be governed, you'd be saying to me, what's your compelling governmental interest to walk in here and tell us, you know, that you really need to do this? And I see my red light is on, so.
Yeah, you'll have 5 minutes in rebuttal.
All right.
Excuse me.
Thank you very much.
Mm-hmm.
May it please the court, Madam Chief Justice, members of the court, I want to start by apologizing for my voice and for the cold that I have.
Well, if you didn't bring the snow, you don't have anything to apologize.
The snow came to Wausau, and it brought me a cold.
Yeah, it happens.
So if you have a whiff of Vicks VapoRub during the course of my argument, yes, that is me. My name is Dean Dietrich, and with me is Allison Dykeman. We are from the law firm of Dietrich and Vanderwall in Wausau. And we are also pleased to be here today, and we're pleased to represent the town of Rim Mountain and the residents of the town of Rim Mountain in this proceeding. I believe that we have not spent much consideration about the town residents in this proceeding. We are here to talk about the ordinance adopted by Marathon County. The ordinance is listed in the record as ordinance O-7-16. And I think it's very relevant for this court to know that nowhere in that ordinance is the word rural. The county has completely decided to ignore the word rural.
So, counsel, so let's talk about that a little bit. I understand that you believe that rural designates the geographic area in which this rural numbering system can be applied. In fact, on page 11 of your brief, you say, rural is not a confusing or misunderstood term by common, ordinary, or reasonable people. In considering the term rural, there's no need to consult extrinsic sources for guidance because it is wholly unambiguous. So I'd like to stress test that a little bit. Can you tell me what it means without saying that it's not urban?
The first answer that I would give to you, Justice Kelly, is that I believe the Court of Appeals gave proper guidance to the town of Green Mountain and Marathon County on how to proceed with a determination of rural versus urbanized.
Well, let's hold up on that for just a second. So the Court of Appeals, as you say in your brief, found the term to be plain and unambiguous, and yet it sent the case back to the circuit court to develop a means by which you can figure out what's rural and what's not. How can the Court of Appeals say that the term is plain and unambiguous and yet not be able to assign a definition to it?
Because what the Court of Appeals said, Justice Kelly, is that rural has to have meaning within the statute. And it has to have an interpretation, and it has to be applied. Before I answer further, I would comment, we're talking a lot about the word rural in the rural numbering and address system, but we're also talking about the word rural in the language of 4A and 4B. If you take the language of rural out of 4A and 4B, then you can talk about the potential of an argument that rural numbering and addressing system is a, quote, title. But that's not what the legislature did.
All right, so let's talk about what the legislature did. They said rural, so tell me, can you tell me right now, without going back to the circuit court, can you tell me right now, what does rural mean?
I would look to the Attorney General's opinion referenced by counsel as supposedly the precursor for this particular statute. And what word did they use there? Farm. They used the word farm. And that's what the legislature used to insert the word rural. There is no blanket definition of the word rural. The Court of Appeals gave definitions from the dictionary, which is a standard procedure when interpreting language in a statute. And as I know this Court knows, you have stated in the past that if the legislature uses two different words in a statute, you have to give interpretation and definition to those two words.
That's a good point. So now 59.54 sub 4B says the names or numbers may be displayed on uniform signs posted on rural roads and intersections and at each home, business, farm, or other establishment. So if rural means farm, why is that used twice?
The word rural is used in sub A and sub B to very clearly define where this addressing system, which has a purpose identified in the statute, is to be applied. That word rural stayed there. In 1995, when the legislature modified this statutory provision, they did not delete that word rural. They left that word rural where it is, and you have to assume that that had a specific purpose action.
But if it means farm, then the legislature used two different words to mean the same thing in that one subsection. And as you said, when the legislature uses different words, we should assume it means different things.
Because, yes, but you also must recognize that both in 1957, in 1995, and today, you are talking about an addressing system. And an addressing system is applied to roads. So you have to have some sort of reference to roads. And what you have here is a clear designation of intent by the legislature that this numbering system and addressing system is to apply to rural roads. And so, you need that there because of it.
Yeah. So if rural means farm, then how many farms does a road have to go by before it could be considered rural?
That becomes a basis, Your Honor, for why this has to be presented to the court as suggested by the Court of Appeals.
But doesn't that make it ambiguous?
No, Your Honor, and let me remind the court that the zoning ordinance in every county in the state of Wisconsin is not uniform. Every county has adopted a zoning ordinance, and they have applied the principles of that zoning ordinance to the appropriate county properties, and sometimes a municipality will supersede, in as it relates to the particulars of that county. This is nothing different than that.
Counsel, what is the big problem for the town to go along with this? I mean, the statute is entitled, I know it's just a title, but the whole 5954 is public protection and safety. So the county's not doing this to be punitive. What is it that bugs the town so much that they don't want to go along with this?
Before I answer that, Chief Justice, I'd like to just make two small points. Point number one, the town does not have the authority to snap its fingers and become a village. There is a very specific process requiring Department of Administration approval before a town or a portion of a town can become incorporated. And there are opportunities for other incorporated municipalities to object to that. There are a number of municipalities around the area of the town of Rim Mountain. So it is not simply a vote by the town board to incorporate. Number two, we've talked about, and this court has recognized, some of the discussion in the briefs regarding the changes in the towns, the urbanization of towns. Town of Madison comes to mind in our local community here as an example of an urbanization of a town. The town of Rim Mountain is at the intersection of Highway 29 east-west, Highway I-39 north-south. Certainly has an impact upon the nature of that town and what should be included as part of an urbanized portion of the town as recognized, as acknowledged by council. The point to the objection by the town of Rim Mountain is that this is imposed upon the town. The town was given an opportunity to discuss and did meet and did discuss and did consider cooperation with Marathon County regarding addressing. In the end, the town chose that they wanted to keep portions of the town the way they are. And they have the right to do so. They have the right to look at and cooperate or look at and decide not to cooperate. So from the perspective of the town residents, the town board members heard from town residents who said they did not agree.
So the residents didn't want to have their house number or their street changed, and that's genesis for the town's opposition to this?
Of course, Chief Justice Rogosek, I can't speak for every member of the town to their rationale.
Right.
But certainly that's part of the consideration.
Okay.
And I think you all understand the importance of local politics and the importance of a governing body to listen to their residents.
I understand all of that.
Okay. And I would also point out, Chief Justice Rogosek and members of the court, there is nothing in the record that says that there has been problems with fire protection and emergency services in the town of Rim Mountain. That's why this matter needs to go back to the trial court. That's not in the record, and counsel did not answer the question, were there problems in the town of Rim Mountain? Counsel said there were apparently identified problems in Marathon County. I would point out to you as part of the implementation plan that Marathon County has developed. They have said there are parts of the town of Rim Mountain that should have urbanized signs, and there are parts of the town of Rim Mountain that should have rural signs.
Well, that's
they've said that
like
in their own
regular
document.
You know, parts of, I'm a little bit familiar with the town, and parts of it are, you wouldn't know that it was a town or a village by driving in that part, right?
Well, yes, Your Honor, and I guess I might say more. You would certainly understand that those particular parts of the town are not related to a farm.
Correct.
And they're heavily commercialized, as I'm sure you and maybe others are aware.
Right.
And so that's why the court has to look at the language in the statute and recognize that the language was put there and the language was kept there for the purposes that we are debating and discussing today, which is the right of the town to determine whether they wish to participate and the fact that the authority under the ordinance.
Counsel, do you agree with the Court of Appeals' instructions to the Circuit Court in how it is supposed to develop a definition of rural?
I would suggest to you, Justice Kelly, that the action taken by the Court of Appeals to provide reading together of definitions of rural and suggesting that that be reviewed by the Court of Appeals, and that action be taken by the Court of Appeals, and that the matter be considered by the Court of Appeals with input from the town of Rim Mountain, is the most appropriate way to address this issue.
So part of what they said in paragraph 27 of their opinion, they said the term rural refers to areas that are characterized by comparatively lower densities of people or buildings, or areas that are characteristic of or related to the country. You recall seeing that in their opinion?
Right.
Okay. So my questions will relate to this comparatively language that the Court of Appeals used. Comparison obviously requires that there's something that we compare against, right? It's common meaning. So what's the reference point against which we are to compare a particular area of the town to decide whether or not that's rural?
I think what the Court of Appeals is saying, is you have to look very closely at the area of the entire town of Rim Mountain, not accept the concept that the town of Rim Mountain, simply because it's unincorporated, is strictly a rural county, and compare the different aspects of both the properties, the population, the businesses. All of those aspects need to be looked at as a consideration is made of which should be considered rural and which should be considered urbanized, like the Marathon County Zoning Department did when they determined where to put urbanized signs versus rural signs.
So what happens to the...
If I could, just for just a second. So do we compare... If we're looking at one part of Rib Mountain, and the question is, should we implement this naming system in this part of the town? Do we look at the most densely populated part of the town to decide whether this is comparatively low population? Do we look at the town as a whole in comparison to the most densely populated town in the county of Marathon? Or do we look at that town and compare it to Milwaukee? What is it that we're comparing against?
You're looking at the different types of uses, businesses, homes, density in the town. That's the analysis that needs to be done. Just like an analysis is done in an individual area for zoning purposes. It's a similar concept.
See, that's what I thought was envisioned under the town may cooperate. And I'm disappointed that that's not where we are, because I thought that's what the statute had in mind, is that if there are varying natures within the town itself, the leadership of the town would get together with the leadership of the county, and they would work something out that would satisfy both concerns, the safety concerns and the concerns of the town, that different parts of it differ in their nature. But apparently that didn't work.
Chief Justice, a review of the ordinance adopted by Marathon County shows that in the end, there was not an analysis done, but rather a ruling by Marathon County that this addressing system shall apply to all unincorporated areas. The word rural and the analysis that you speak to is not incorporated as part of the ordinance adopted by Marathon County. I think both council agree there were efforts to discuss this.
Okay.
But it was not incorporated into the ordinance.
Okay. All right. Thank you.
As a practical matter, what happens to the naming and numbering system if an area in the town evolves one direction or the other, becomes more urban, and it had been part of the system? Can that portion of the town then go back into court if the county won't allow the signs to be replaced with the urban signs, if you will? I'm kind of looking at the practicality of implementing what I understand the scheme is that the Court of Appeals envisions, and one of the concerns voiced by the county is sort of this ongoing risk of litigation, always going back to court. It doesn't seem that's one of the issues that I see in implementing the Court of Appeals decision.
And I do think Marathon County, as well in its brief, seems to argue that as well, that we're now going to be dealing with a raft of litigation. I would first ask you, as I think you can all do, to deal with the practicality of local government. The practicality of local government is they don't go running into court every day because they're unhappy with one thing or another. They do that when they believe that their rights have been violated. And so to suggest that we're now going to be involved in all sorts of litigation, I would respond to you by saying the majority of other counties, if not all other counties, have already adopted a system of addressing which addresses unionized areas and rural areas, and we aren't seeing a raft of litigation over the change in that. What council has suggested for Marathon County that now all other old counties are going to be challenging this. They have all been operating under systems. And to suggest now that we're going to be dealing with all sorts of future litigation, I don't think is appropriate.
What's the difference between the urban signage, if you will, and the rural naming and numbering system signage?
I can only speak with some limited knowledge of that, and that is, Justice, that the urbanized signs are going to look are going to be the white and black, and are going to look like the signs in the middle of the city of Wausau. And the rural signs on the various rural parts of the town of Rim Mountain are going to be the red fire signs. And that's an acknowledgement, I think, by Marathon County that something can be done to resolve this. I would remind this court of a statement made by Justice Diane Sykes in 2004, where she very simply and eloquently wrote about the imposition of statutory framework and statutory authority. It is the enacted law, not the unintended intent, that is binding on the public. What we are talking about here is an ordinance adopted by Marathon County that is binding on the residents of the town of Rim Mountain. And Marathon County has proposed and in its ordinance has incorporated what it believes is the unenacted intent of the state statute. This court must look to the enacted law, not the unenacted intent. And this court has made it very clear in past rulings, Kalal and others, that when the legislature puts two different words in a statute, rural and in towns, they are meant to be interpreted differently. They are not the same thing, as suggested by Marathon County.
So, Council, if rural applies not just to roads as a descriptor, but to homes, businesses, farms, and other establishments, is that a structure-by-structure determination of what qualifies as rural? Do you have to look at each individual home and say, that's a rural one, so that gets rural numbering, but that's on the edge and his neighbor is not going to get the rural numbering system?
Justice Kelly, I believe that that analysis, we can go back and talk about the word farm, because I think the word farm has a play in that. But I think that analysis is really going to relate to what the type of business is, what the type of home is it a farm home type of thing, and is going to relate to density. I think those are going to be the considerations. And if you had a chance to look at the map, as I said, that Marathon County developed regarding signs, you would see that the urbanized signs are the more dense areas, the subdivisions, the commercial businesses. And the rural signs are more of the farm-related or very non-dense areas.
So if you're driving down the road and you drive by a farm, and then you drive by five houses in a row that are on an acre each, and then you drive by a farm, does the whole road get designated as farm? Does it all get designated as urban? And do you have to make an individualized determination every time you come across a combination like that?
I have had the opportunity over the course of my career to drive a lot of back roads. And what I believe you're referring to are those intersections on two not very popularized and not very urbanized roads, where three or four houses are located because the land is split off, the land is developed close to a corner. And I think that's like the old small town concept, if you will, that is lost in the town of Rim Mountain because of businesses like Walmart and Sam's and those types of commercial businesses. And I think that there's a rule of reason here that's going to apply to that intersection where you're dealing with three houses and one grocery store.
So you're relying on the word farm, though, and farm really has to do with growing crops and rearing animals, and but yet you want that word to really be what rural means.
I point to the 1957 Attorney General's opinion, where the Attorney General referenced farms, referenced roads. And I point to that only, Justice, to show, as counsel for Marathon County admitted, that was kind of the precursor. The legislature went beyond that. The legislature went to the word rural.
So what does rural mean? We started out with you saying it means farms. What does it mean? It's more than farms?
I refer you back again to the Court of Appeals decision. Okay. I think that the Court of Appeals has done the best they could do to interpret the word rural and to provide a methodology for Marathon County to work cooperatively with the town of Rim Mountain to determine where the addressing system should be applied.
Is it your understanding that the ordinance, and I'm looking at road signs, which is Section C, and I'm looking particularly at subsection 2, where it says the type of lettering, composition, material, color, mounting posts, and accessories shall be in accordance with the Manual of Uniform Traffic Control Devices. Do you interpret or do you have reason to interpret that to mean that there won't be signs that are more consistent with a neighborhood as they are now in areas of the town, but rather all be signs that are out in the country, the red signs that you were talking about earlier for like a fire sign? Or are there different kinds of signs that are still envisioned, even with this ordinance?
My understanding that there are different signs envisioned within the ordinance.
Okay.
That the signs in what I would call, I'm going to cause problems because I'm going to raise another word here,
yeah,
that I would call commercial areas are going to be a typical sign that you would find for a heavy traffic area. I've already pointed out that that town of Rim Mountain is the intersection of two major roads in the state of Wisconsin. And that's a factor in this process, in this consideration. And that's why you have to consider it individually, because there is no other county, unless you talk about Marathon County and perhaps, I'm sorry, Milwaukee County and Waukesha County, that has the intersection of two major roads, like you see with I-39 and Highway 29. That's why there has to be different review and analysis in each instance, because counties are different. And application of one five-letter definition is not realistic when you're dealing with the different counties in the state of Wisconsin. Thank you.
Is it your understanding, Council, that the ordinance section C2 permits signage that is consistent with what is currently in the more developed areas of the town? So you won't have a great big, two big highway sign in the smaller roads, and you won't have a smaller red fire number kind of signs, but rather they'll be on a post like they are now, but with different names, perhaps. I know there's a lot of blackberries in the town. So
right.
They may have different names, but the signs are going to be consistent with the look of the signs.
That's my understanding, okay. Justice, that there are a number of colors. I believe that we've discussed, I did work on the contract with the supplier of signs.
Well, it says there the responsibility of the town in which the road is located in subsection C1. So I was okay. I just want to be clear.
There are signs that have there are towns that have town emblems mm-hmm. that want to be on their signs. We put the emblems on those signs.
Okay. All right, thank you.
And we try to be consistent, and that is an instance of cooperation. But I think that there's a dramatic difference between the scenario that the Court of Appeals sets up and the statute. The Court of Appeals now says within those zones, the county does not have the authority to regulate. There's no mandate. When counsel says that we're predicting increasing litigation, and that's not realistic at all. They've fundamentally changed the landscape of how these ordinances now operate. It's our belief that, you know, when in answer to your question, Justice Bradley, when a development occurs, they can say, well, hey, we're urban now, and we don't want to go along with that grid anymore. So you have a ridge road running along, you get to the development in the middle of an unincorporated town. It then becomes Maple Street, and then it runs out the other end, and it's ridge road again, and it thwarts the purpose of the statute. And council refers to the intent of the legislature, and it says the county is trying to act on the unintended or the unenacted intent. The Court of Appeals wrote in their decision that the use of the word rural unambiguously demonstrates the intent on the part of the legislature, and I kind of had some fun with that because I don't think whoever wrote those words, I don't think staffs a legislative body like I do. I sit there and I look at 38 county board members, which is we believe it's the largest county board in the country at this point. There are on many issues there are two sides and there are people in the middle that have their own motivations and you don't know what those motivations are. I don't think that there's a legislative body that unambiguously shows their intent unless they align on language that says this is our intent. And in this case, in this statute, that's what they said. They said the purpose of this is for the purpose of aiding in fire protection, emergency services, and in civil defense. And that's the lens that this statute needs to be looked at. There is no other specific definition of what rural is supposed to mean, and that's because it's problematic. It's difficult philosophically. We've talked about in our brief ruralness, you know, trying to find the platonic form of what rural means. We'd also probably have to try to define what urbanness means. It's just a difficult concept, and it's because, to your point, Justice Kelly, it's subjective. It's gonna depend on your frame of reference. To people from Milwaukee, the thought that any of Marathon County is urban, I think, would probably be comical. And that's because of the fundamental subjectiveness of that kind of test. And the Court of Appeals struggled with this because they said, well, Marathon County, you make up your test, and then, but you don't have to align with what anybody else's test is. That can be, Washera County can have whatever kind of test they have. Waukesha County can have whatever test they want to have. And that's not uniformity.
Although, to be fair, that probably doesn't actually make any difference, right? If the test changes from county to county, this is a county-based system, and its system won't go beyond county boundaries, right?
Well, each system will not go beyond county boundaries, but in terms of what constitutes urban and what the county then has the power to regulate pursuant to the statute would be variable, and it would change if you cross the line. And that's just, again, that thwarts the purpose, I think. That thwarts the general purpose.
Thank you, counsel.
Thank you very much.
Thank you both for a very interesting I don't think we've had anything quite like this for a long time. So the briefs were very good and the arguments were both very good. And even with your cold, you did very well as usual. We are going to take a break now so that the court can actually have its lunch because we'll be back at 1:30. Justice Dallet will come down and talk to you students for a little bit if you have a moment. So we are adjourned. Thank you.